to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. Sam's off today after quite the Thanksgiving of turkey frying. I'm in the studio, Becky Friedman, and with me is Josh. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
And Luke.
Doing well.
Yeah, you had some turkeys as well. You had some intense turkey frying, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Good turkey frying.
Okay, so we had turkey frying going on at our place as well. Did you do one or two birds?
We did one fried and one smoked.
Oh, okay. See, when we heat that much oil, we say might as well, you know, you have all that oil heated, might as well put as many things as you want into that fry oil. So we ended up with two birds this year.
Nice. Yeah. So, yeah, as I said, so do we.
Okay.
One of the groups that brought the turkey over, they really, really wanted to smoke it. My brother picked up this really big smoker that's just amazing. So we've been using that as much as we can. Any excuse.
Nice. And Josh, did you have a bird for your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, just a basic baked turkey.
Okay, so roasted and you get up at 5 in the morning, have to keep showering it with all the basting juices.
I do none of this.
Oh, okay. I see.
I outsource this work.
Got it. You know, that Thanksgiving being so close to sort of the Christmas holidays, you know, a lot of folks sort of view it as a run-up or a dress rehearsal for Christmassy things. In our family, it's great because, hey, Thanksgiving can be something that's there and we don't have to attribute it to thanking God for any particular thing as atheists, but just an opportunity to have families that get together and be thankful for each other or just to enjoy each other's company. Do you guys ever have any sort of religious overtones to your Thanksgivings?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think my father-in-law tried prayer at my place once, and I was like, yeah, no.
Not happening at this house.
Not happening. Like, you can pray to yourself, but it's secular here. Everybody here is a different faith, most of it, so.
Okay.
And honestly, to tell you the truth, he's not very Christian to tell you. He's like very Catholic, but very cultural.
Okay.
Catholic.
So it's sort of like we're going to have a big meal. And what do you do before you have a big meal? You give grace or say grace, but not something that would ordinarily happen anyway.
Yeah. It's not something they do anyway, but I was like, we're not going to do that in my house.
Okay. What about you, Luke?
We all just joked about saying grace. There was a whole bunch of, so who's going to say grace jokes?
Okay.
And that was about as good as it got. We had a couple of our friends over for the bunch of, people from the atheist group, and we just had turkey, ate food, and then had pie.
Nice. All right. Well, this is a great feedback little question that we have from someone of one of our international listeners, and this is Leandro from Helsinki, formerly of Brazil, who writes, it shouldn't be Turkey Day, because, you know, a lot of us as atheists, do you call it Turkey Day or you call it Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
You call it
Thanksgiving.
Okay. I don't. Am I the only one that calls it Turkey Day? I guess we call it Turkey Day. So we said it shouldn't be Turkey Day. Do we kill fathers for Father's Day?
Maybe we should start.
I kind of like that one.
I'm okay with not doing that.
You being one father who has procreated.
Yes.
Okay. I'd be safe. That's why I'm fine for it. Just kidding.
Or would you?
Or would you? I assume I'm safe.
So we also have an inquiry. Daniel from Kitsap Peninsula says, what's the best temperature to cook a 15-pound baby for atheist Thanksgiving?
I think you could fit that in the fryer. Okay. And that's like a solid 30 to 45 minutes.
Okay. And but temperature?
Temperature,
so,
well, you got to keep the oil at about 350 degrees.
Just below smoke point.
Yeah, just below smoke point.
Okay. Josh, do you decline to answer this very provocative question?
Well, I mean, I'd actually prefer the smoking route, honestly. So just like good 12 hours in a smoker and some like good pellets that are like really good flavored pellets. And
the 15-pound turkey took about 8 to 10 hours. So yeah, that's about the right time.
Okay, so what this really talks about, right? No, atheists do not eat human babies.
Nope.
Newsflash, we never have. We don't want to. This is not some aspiration. But why do you think the baby-eating trope got assigned to atheists? Because, you know, I grew up in a Jewish family where I, you know, right around age 11 or so, discovered this thing that people had done historically called blood libel.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say the blood libel. I mean, it's a run-on of the blood libel. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same assumptions.
Okay.
Just made-up assumptions that Christians have about people. And so heathens, atheists, apparently we have to do something. So eating babies is what we have to do.
We are bad baby eating people.
You got to, so that way that back in the day that allowed people to prosecute. So.
So here's the thing. Since becoming involved in an atheist community and generally in atheist visitability, the only people that I've heard about atheists eating babies, the only people that I've heard that from is other atheists saying, oh, yeah, I'm a baby eating atheist.
It's our inside joke now.
Yeah. So I went to Yakima a few, like 5 years ago on a work trip, and it was at a bar. After work got out, and there was an atheist meetup right next to me, just conveniently. And so I started joking at them, like, what do babies taste like and all that. So not letting on that I was an atheist. So
how'd they react? Were they in good fun, or were they a little bit guarded?
They got the joke.
Okay. All right. Nice. So one of the things, of course, that the end of Thanksgiving means is the beginning of terrible, terrible Christmas music, but also beautiful, beautiful Christmas lights, or holiday lights, shall we see. And this takes us all the way to England, where an evangelical preacher in a village of northeast Lincolnshire, England, I'm not sure whether in England it's Lincolnshire or Lincolnshire or Lear or something like that. I don't know how many syllables are actually pronounced in that one. But anyway, this preacher recently accused his township of blasphemy and human rights violations. This is not a laughing matter, Josh.
This is absolutely a laughing matter.
Human rights violations are not laughing matters. Let's see. So he recently accused his township of blasphemy and human rights violations with its Mary Poppins themed Christmas lights festival. The issue first came to the attention of Pastor Paul Vivian when he spotted a billboard advertising a supercalifragilistic light switch on and wishing the public a Merry Christmas. M-A-R-Y. In a letter to the Northeast Lincolnshire Council, Vivian cited Article 20 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which obliges countries to adopt legislative measures against any advocacy of national, racial, or religious hatred that constitutes incitement to discrimination, hostility, or violence. Vivian concluded that since the advertisement, in his opinion, openly mocked Christmas by supplanting Jesus with Mary Poppins, it ignored the feelings and values of Christians, thereby contravening the human rights statute. The festival took place on November 23rd as planned, with Santa's sleigh followed by a one-man band, Mary, Bert, and other street performers.
I'm sorry, this reminds me of my stepson saying that homework violates his human rights.
Whoa, homework is a violation of human rights?
It is.
Come on, apparently. The teacher in me really needs to hear this one out. What's a violation? I mean, I'm not a big believer in homework as a teacher. I mean, there's really good data that shows that the outcome, educational outcomes of students that are assigned homework versus not assigned homework are not all that different. So for my sake, I don't assign homework because kids still need to play. But what's the mind of a 12-year-old say?
Oh, well, he doesn't really want to do it, and it's awful and boring and terrible. And so, therefore, because it's torture, he shouldn't have to do it.
Oh, it's torturous. Oh,
it's definitely torturous.
Okay, so this is actually a human rights violation under the aegis of torture.
I'm sure it's
cruel and unusual punishment.
So it's against the Geneva Conventions.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but this one, what part of this International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights is Mary, not Mary, but Merry Christmas violating? We have to make sure that there's no advocacy of national, racial, or religious hatred. Something that's celebrating Christmas and saying, hey, come down and hear the music of Mary Poppins. We're super excited because there's a major movie coming out with Mary Poppins Returns. So maybe we'll generate some more excitement. This is a movie that's, you know, centered in England. Like, it seems all really fun and games to me. Is there anything here that's promoting religious hatred?
Do they have a clause about puns in the rules?
I don't know. Maybe that is torture, but that would be under a different thing.
Different one.
Than inciting. Let's see, incitement to discrimination, incitement to hostility. Oh, I got it. Incitement to violence. The pun is so bad
that makes you want to punch somebody.
Sam Mulvey will fly all the way into England to this little township and punch somebody's lights out, and it will no longer be a light switch on, but it'll be a punch someone's lights out. There we go. Incitement to violence.
That's it.
Does that article, though, extend all the way to Tacoma, Washington?
I'm just glad that the U.S. doesn't have all the crackpots. I mean, this kind of gives me that. I mean, it's not just America that's got these
weirdos. We don't have like exclusive rights to the crackpots.
No, there's crackpots in the UK, so it's makes me feel a little bit better.
One of the things that was amazing was there's a little video of a local news agency, you know, interviewing him, and he said, if this was any other religion, right? And he said, if it was any other kind of observance, like Ramadan.
Ramadan? What's Ramadan?
I don't know. I think it's like he gets confused between Rama, which is, you know, in Hinduism, and then Ramadan, which is, of course, a very solemn month observance in Islam, or the Festival of Lights, you know, referring to Hanukkah. To me, I just look at that. He said, if it was any other religious observance and it was, you know, commercialized in this way, then no one would ever, you know, everyone would be up in arms. Do you know how many Hanukkah menorahs are like commercially themed with Disney characters or I mean, I don't even know. But seriously, dude, if you think that your township has the stranglehold on commercializing Christmas or commercializing any religious holiday, and you think that that's an incitement to discrimination, you got some better things that you need to be doing. So we look at this. He says blasphemy. He says it's a human rights violation. We can all laugh at that, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wholeheartedly. Sure. It's the same thing as like the Starbucks cup, Christmas cup that comes up every year. There's no Christmas on it.
Oh, what's
no
this Merry one look Christmas. Like?
It's just literally, it looks like flames.
Okay.
It's just red and white flames.
The diabolical flames.
But it does not associate anything with Christmas itself.
It kind of looks like a magic eye thing to me. Like you have to stare at it a long time and suddenly the dolphin will appear.
It'd probably be.
Have you ever been able to get those to work? I can't do those.
I have. Yeah. I got to take off my eyeglasses though.
Took me a long time, but I finally found out it was a schooner.
Maybe you look
Mall
at
Rats reference.
Maybe you look at the Starbucks cup this year and it just looks innocuously like something non-religious, but if it's one of those magic eye things, you'll back away and it'll eventually say Merry Christmas.
Or it's a pentagram.
Oh, yeah. Even better. So we joke about all of these things in terms of things that are blasphemous or offensive to those. You know, any kind of human rights conditions do not protect your feelings from being offended. Like, if we were to do that, something that offends someone else would have to be reversed to not offend your neighbor, right?
I can't think of a single thing that's not offensive to somebody. One thing. Puppies. Somebody is offended by puppies.
Well, there are people that think that puppies should not be, that pets are bad.
My kid's allergic.
Your kid's allergic? Okay. Yeah. Well, they create a tremendous amount of waste. Animals shouldn't be pets because that's slavery. I've heard that argument. Yes, puppies. Puppies are offensive.
Puppies. That's literally it, though. Nothing.
So we take all of this kind of humor where we can laugh at this guy in England and say, you know, Mary Poppins Christmas is something that's totally fine. And to be using and slinging around these words of blasphemy is really over the top. Because when we look at other places in the world where blasphemy charges happen, they are incredibly serious, and we cannot laugh at them. Family of Pakistani Christian woman Asia Bibi is actively seeking asylum in the U.S., the U.K., or Canada. Ms. Bibi was the first woman accused of blasphemy against Islam in her native Pakistan, an offense punishable by death under a 1986 law. She was recently acquitted of the charge by the country's Supreme Court, but mass protests followed her acquittal with calls to reinstate her death by hanging sentence. Protests only stopped when the government said it wouldn't interfere with a review of the court's decision. Lawmakers and lawyers who had visited Bibi in jail or expressed interest in changing the blasphemy statute have been assassinated and threatened over the last 8 years since her case first came to light. Italy and France have expressed offers to help with the family's case, but no country has publicly and officially offered asylum. She and her family remain in hiding.
I don't understand this. Why? Why is nobody actually this is the simplest case of asylum in the world. This is literally what asylum is meant for.
So the big problem we have is that they're a major ally in the war on terror.
They're also a major source of terrorism.
But we can't risk, apparently we can't risk angering their populace. or they won't support us anymore. And
well, we know what happens when their populace is angered. They march through the streets with this woman's picture of her head in a noose.
That was horrible.
We've seen in Pakistan how the charge of blasphemy, because it is punishable by death, because there is a death sentence possibility attached to it, it can be used in ways that are not just about you have offended my religious sensibilities.
Oh, yeah.
This particular case, she is an agricultural worker. She got into a dispute and an argument with a colleague over a glass of water, and it came to a head where perhaps she said something, perhaps she didn't. She's been acquitted, so I'm assuming that she did not say something blasphemous. But just by the fact that someone can accuse you of blasphemy in Pakistan in order to resolve some dispute is there should be some there. Everyone should be clamoring to overturn this particular thing.
Did you hear what the actual argument was?
I didn't. You know, here's the thing. It can't be presented in court because the second you do that, you are guilty of blasphemy since you have repeated the blasphemous utterance.
The argument over the cup, though, was that she had touched it and therefore made it unclean, so the Muslims there couldn't actually drink out of it anymore.
Again, your mere existence as someone other than the dominant religion is offensive or blasphemous to someone else. We see this as atheists. The second you say that you're an atheist, you are making a statement that you think a believer is incorrect about the world. That might offend them. That might hurt their feelings. But the alternative is, do I not say that I exist? I mean, those are the kinds of things that blasphemy laws promote. This is Ask an Atheist. You are listening to three atheists here in Tacoma, Washington. I'm not sorry if that offends you. We'll be back after the break.
Squid ink may sound appealing, but it has caused many disasters throughout history. Its innate homicidal properties cause all murder via chemtrails. Those tanks burn hot enough to melt steel beams, causing 9/11. It fueled the rage of Hurricane Katrina. It even invented the concept of religion. But worst of all, it makes you an unbearable jackass. Don't get hacked. Say no to squid ink.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist. You can call us at 844-SKEPTIC. That is a voicemail line that occasionally people will call into, very, very occasionally. We would love your phone call. You can also, you know, email us at questions@atheist.radio and see all of our, or hear all of our past episodes at atheist.radio as well. One thing that still hasn't left me is my experience from college time. Did you guys ever participate in any college clubs?
No, I was trying to raise a two-year-old.
Okay, all right. And Josh?
I've always taken my college online, so makes clubs kind of not very feasible.
All right, so I guess I'm in the minority here. But let's go and talk a little bit about college. A Christian student group is suing the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs over the ability to restrict membership based on religious faith. The Christian Apologetics Club Ratio Christi petitioned to become a registered club at the publicly funded state institution, but encountered a setback when it attempted to allow only those who share and personally hold beliefs consistent with the group's mission. Ratio Christi seeks to advance, teach, and defend Christian beliefs. The students retained the law group Alliance for Defending Freedom, who stated that religious student organizations should be free to choose their leaders without the government meddling, just like any other student group at a public university. Here's the thing. Every other student group at a public university, if you are incorporated by the ASB, your student government, right, you have to abide by those non-discrimination policies of the institution. You're accepting state money. And so if your state says you have to allow everyone to participate, regardless of national origin or religious faith or non-religious faith, you got to do that. You're at a state college. There are Christian and Catholic institutions that will allow you to do that, right? But here's the thing. Even a lot of the private colleges in the United States say if you're getting money from ASB, from Associated Student Body, from student government, you got to allow everyone to, participate in your club. So were you guys surprised by this at all?
Not surprised, but the logic here is weird. So they're asking the college to break the rules so they can break the rules?
Yes, actually, precisely. Here's the thing of what it says to me. And I was trying to explain this to a young colleague. And I said, okay, so you have a college group and you're Hobbits enthusiasts. You love Lord of the Rings and you incorporate as a Hobbits enthusiast club. Anyone can join your club. Presumably the mission is to glorify the wonder and ceremony of Hobbits. Okay, that's cool. That's fine. Lord of the Rings loses popularity a little bit. Or they say, you know what, maybe we should broaden the scope of this Hobbits Club to include, I don't know, things in the Harry Potter fandom. A lot of kids from the Harry Potter fandom start showing up and say, you know, I think we need to change our club's mission. And I would like to be a dues-paying member of the Hobbits Club. Let's change our name. Let's say that, you know, all fantastical creatures are awesome. And by the way, for next student elections, I'm going to run for secretary of the Hobbits Club. But I'm a Harry Potter enthusiast. That's how it goes. That's how those things organically work, especially when you're being funded publicly. There's nothing different here about being a Christ enthusiast club and a Hobbits enthusiast club or a cooking club or a mountaineering outdooring club. And if you don't like the way that the direction of that club, you can incorporate a new club. That's how student government works.
Sounds a lot like, to me, an extension of the Hobby Lobby case.
Yeah, similar.
Like, they really want to establish the means to have their personal beliefs be able to be enforced.
Actually, funny story, the group that's representing these students is the same group.
Oh, Alliance for Defending Freedom?
Yes.
Not surprised by that at all.
They are very selective in whose freedom, or so-called freedom, they want to defend and who they ally with.
The right of Christians to discriminate.
Yeah, precisely. You know, here's the thing. When I was in graduate school at the University of Washington, and I still would do things that had to do with, Jewish religious life or cultural life, I participated through Hillel. There's a reason that Hillel is near college campuses and operates independently. It's because they can decide, I'm going to hire this particular religious person, and I can discriminate in my hiring because I am a private organization that, you know, will hire only rabbis, right? You don't want to have a rabbi that is a Christian person, right? So you're not affiliated with the college. You're near a college campus. It is an organization and an institution dedicated to Jewish life on college campuses. But that's the way it works, and it works fairly well. There's no reason that Ratio Christi can't do that particular thing.
They just can't accept public funding.
They can't accept public funding. The reason that they want to be able to do this is so that they can establish that publicly funded things are able to discriminate. And speaking of publicly funded things able to discriminate and the so-called Alliance for Defending Freedom, whoever they ally with and whoever's freedom they defend, we have a philosophy professor at Shawnee State University in Ohio who is suing for his right to discriminate against transgender students after he was disciplined by superiors for refusing to use the pronouns and names a student had requested. Dr. Nicholas Merriweather filed a federal lawsuit asserting that the public university violated his freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and due process. Merriweather customarily refers to students by sir, ma'am, mister, or miss, which, in his view, fosters an atmosphere of seriousness and mutual respect. Merriweather cited his faith to justify his actions, stating that it is his sincerely held religious belief, based on the Bible's teachings, that God created human beings as either male or female, that this gender is fixed in each person from the moment of conception, and that it cannot be changed.
Are you sure we're not talking about Jordan Peterson?
No.
This sounds like Jordan Peterson.
This is a different philosophy professor at a college.
American homegrown Jordan Peterson.
Absolutely.
Trying to get on the same cash cow that he's been riding this for the last 5 years.
Tell us a little bit. I regret saying this.
Yeah,
I might regret saying this, but tell us a little bit about Jordan Peterson. He isn't homegrown, right?
He's Toronto based professor. I don't know if he is anymore, but basically he became famous because Canada expanded their law for non-discrimination to include transgender individuals, and he basically lied about what that meant, and he asserted that meant like people like him will go to jail, and so he's been a vocal opponent to the legislation being expanded to include transgender individuals, and he's basically became the okay, I'm gonna ContraPoints actually calls him this. ContraPoints is a YouTube star. But basically, ContraPoints calls him the big daddy of the incel movement.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but it sounds a lot like this professor is trying to get on the same gravy train.
It does. You know, he's a philosophy professor, but at the same time, he's an evangelical Christian, self-professed evangelical Christian. I do wonder how you can honestly teach philosophy when your particular, like, how can you present, you know, the marketplace of ideas to steal something that is very much
libertarian?
Yeah. And that the ADF, the Alliance for Defending Freedom, loves saying. They say, oh, student clubs should be able to, you know, exist in the marketplace of free ideas, and that professors shouldn't be muzzled because students should be exposed to the marketplace of free ideas. This is a talking point. This is a refrain that Alliance for Defending Freedom uses all the time.
Right.
And what they want is for Christianity to be very marketable, and for the free ideas to be, you know, very, you know, out there and available for the taking, but only if it's Christian.
They can only be Christian ideas.
Right. So, I mean, he's saying that his constitutional rights are violated by compelling him to speak in ways that contravene, you know, his sincerely held religious beliefs. How often have you guys heard this? Oh, it's a sincerely held belief. How often do you hear that?
Oh, far too many times now.
Then the literature could be said about everything. Like, that's an argument for nothing.
Yeah. It is my sincerely held religious belief that I may be able to discriminate against anyone I want to.
It's my sincerely held religious belief that I don't need to vaccinate my children.
Right.
Never mind that there's a measles outbreak right now.
Up 30% over the past few years.
Devastating.
You hear this by pharmacy technicians and pharmacists that refuse to dispense certain medications that are legally, lawfully, and medically prescribed for individuals, saying, I'm not going to sell this particular thing to you. I mean, just because something is a sincerely held religious belief, it is very connected with one's identity, but it doesn't give you license to act in a horrible way towards others.
Yeah, if you want to protect your identity, that's fine, but you can't attack somebody else's. You can't.
Right.
You can't sit there and use it to say, because I don't believe in abortifacients, I'm not going to allow you to take this medicine that help you with your the miscarriage you're going through right now.
So you don't believe in abortions? Don't have one yourself.
Yeah, very simple.
Don't try to control what other people do.
That's the pro-choice movement in a nutshell.
So with regards to Alliance for Defending Freedom, because I just really cannot get over the name of this particular law group. I mean, they use different little lawyers in different locations, but they're an organization that does freedom. What does freedom even mean in this kind of context?
It means only what you want it to mean, apparently. So for conservatives have to be able to define freedom. I mean, they get to drive what it means to be free, apparently.
It's freedom from my perspective.
Yeah, like perspective. Your perspective does not matter, but I get all the freedoms on my side because I'm a Christian, damn it.
Ah, so this particular transgender student who says, please refer to me by this name and please do not use the word Mr. or that honorific with me, they have no freedom, essentially, at this point.
No.
Freedom means nothing for that person.
Because
no freedom
they're from their perspective, they're an abomination, and therefore they don't get licensed their own freedom of identity.
So no freedom of identity. Only the Christian identity.
I was going to say, you get a freedom of identity as long as you're Christian.
Oh my goodness.
And white and male.
I think you've really and an evangelical philosophy professor, perhaps. I think you really hit the hail on the head there. Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head there, where you say this is the freedom that we want to defend, and this is who we ally with. Even the word alliance, you know, it's like everyone talks about LGBTQ allies, and you know, kind of a little bit bastardizing that word alliance there. Who are you allying with, and whose freedom are you defending?
Right. This group is considered a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center now.
Oh, the ADF.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, of course, the ADF considers them, the Southern Poverty Law Center, to be a radical left-wing organization. And they don't care.
Fake news.
And?
Yep, fake news.
Fake news.
So, you know, with all of these talks of, you know, whose feelings are hurt by whom and things like that, it's a real huge thing to have your complete identity erased. Right? That's something that I would say that's a little bit more than just hurt feelings, right? Your whole identity is being erased. But even the slightest little existence and mention that someone is other than what you believe to be right or morally correct or anything like that can be enough to hurt your feelings. Even more benign than Mary Poppins with some Christmas lights up.
It's almost, well, okay, so it's like the Second Amendment argument. It's like, we can't have any gun control whatsoever because the slightest step towards gun control means that we're going to ban all weapons.
I need to get a tank then. I need a tank.
Oh, I need an atomic weapon. I mean, come on. Why? It's a nuclear arms. I mean, literally, it says the right to bear arms, nuclear arms.
My,
I mean,
office mate wants some smallpox.
Oh,
yeah.
Biological arms.
Take it all the way.
So I just want a banner that wishes everyone happy holidays.
Communist.
So selectmen in the town of Bethel, Connecticut, approved guidelines that would allow a holiday greeting banner in the town square signed "Your Atheist Neighbors" to be placed next to a nativity scene that local representatives of the group American Atheists had requested be removed. The policies state that displays cannot defame or attack another religion or person. One official noted that the atheist sign, which reads in full, "This season, no matter what you celebrate or why, happy holidays," noted that it seems to comply with the policy. Selectmen will vote on December 4th whether to allow the banner.
Okay, this goes back to what you were saying. Like, literally, just the word atheist is offensive.
Right.
Literally because it says atheism on it.
If you look at what the public comment was about letting this atheist sign be there, people were up in arms. And not the tank and smallpox kind of arms. They were aghast that something so offensive as a happy holidays greeting could be allowed. And it's, you know, it's amazing. You, like I said earlier, you say that you're an atheist, suddenly you are telling someone else that they are incorrect, and you are blaspheming, or you are hurting my feelings. That contravenes human rights.
This is exactly how blasphemy laws get enacted. And this is just the starting of when they become dangerous. Like right now, it seems innocuous. It's like, oh, we're just offended, right? But now we're arguing for the right to control you from doing anything that's blasphemous. And then the next step after that is punishment. And then they like to take it, they like heads to roll.
No, it's, and then you can use those like they did in Pakistan and some other countries. You can use that to, you know, take your neighbor's property or something like that.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's an old practice from, Christians did it with witches. Literally, like if you would accuse somebody of being a witch, it's something you can't prove at all. So literally, like, their property was up, it seized, and it was shared between the state and the accuser.
Well, from what I hear, if you put them in water for 10 minutes and they survive, they're definitely a witch.
Yeah.
So what would happen if you put a nativity scene in water and it floated? Does that mean that the atheist banner gets to be displayed in the town square?
So wait, is the Wicked Witch of the West, when she melted because she got water splashed on her, not a witch?
Oh, good question. Gosh.
So what was she then?
Combining my two favorite sort of franchises, Mary Poppins and Wizard of Oz, who brought them all together today in this particular thing, this particular show.
She is not a witch.
So, you know, here's the thing. Someone says that the policy says that the banner can't be demeaning or hostile towards any religion or something. And there are people that think that atheists literally saying, happy hope you have a nice December, is demeaning or hostile.
It's the signature.
It's from the cups atheists. Again. It's the freaking cups, the Starbucks cups. It's literally anything and everything will set them off.
Yep. You have to honor all my holidays. Or
they have else. To. I mean, it's
or only my holidays.
Only their
right?
holidays. Yeah, only
it's
their holidays.
Christian dominionism. It's literally they're trying to take over seven avenues of cultural experience, so that way they have complete control. It's literally they're trying to do Sharia law for Christians.
Oh, don't say that.
Oh, no.
Both of us had that same thought. But no, I think you're right. This, you know, you see people freaking out of saying, let's preemptively pass a law that says no Sharia law is allowed. Sharia law just means religiously influenced law from the religion you don't like.
Right.
And they're completely fine with religiously influenced law from the religion they do like.
And they can't look at Saudi Arabia and see that that's a bad idea.
Terrible idea. I like having no religiously based laws. I'm good with that. It's a good thing.
Secularism. Ooh.
When we look at a secular state and we look at secular law, we're saying it's all of the allowances that permit a pluralistic religious existence. when you have people that are of faith, people that are of different levels of observance, you have people that are from different backgrounds. When you say that we are a secular state and you have things that you can do, that you can practice your law, it protects religious beliefs. It protects the practices of religious individuals. Because as soon as you stop having a secular state and secular law that permits freedom of religion, you start having a religious dominance that restricts all of the minority religions. Or perhaps you have a religious minority that then enacts their particular flavor because of the way that they're allowed to get into power. I mean, you see that evangelical Christianity is something that is very popular in the United States, but it is not the majority of believers or even of residents of the United States, yet there's disproportionate power in elected government.
They're very loud.
Oh, I mean, considering like what, there's 20% of Americans are non-believers, not to say that they're atheists, but we have almost virtually no representation.
We have very little organization.
Yeah.
And that's increasing with things like Secular Coalition for America and, you know, lots of different, you know, like coalitions right there. But anything, American Atheist, American Humanist Association, Atheist Alliance of America, you have organization. But until the last like 5 years, there was really no political push like you had with the Christian Coalition, for instance, that really set the wheels spinning for the kinds of disproportionate evangelical power that we have now in our elected offices. So here's the thing. You've got this nativity scene and you want to have a banner that says Happy Holidays. You know, here in Tacoma, we've got our holiday tree. And you've got Chabad, which is the ultra-Orthodox Hasidic, you know, religious group that has the Hanukkah menorah that's there as well. Is there something that's so bad about having a holiday banner just by being signed by atheists? If there was something in Tacoma that said you can have the atheist banner, but just don't sign it atheist, just say Happy Holidays, would you guys go for it? Or would you push to have that atheist signature?
I'd push for the signature. I mean, who's the Happy Holidays coming from?
Yeah, you can't. You know, they're trying to use this as a means to make sure that we're not having a voice in the public sphere.
Forget voice, even but, being visible or being acknowledged as existing.
But I'm truly offended that you didn't acknowledge my holiday of Festivus. Oh, it's for the rest of us.
Okay. Well, I guess the rest of you guys can have your sincere...
You have your aluminum
It
pole.
Is my sincerely held belief, Pass Josh, that Festivus is not for the rest of us.
All holidays are crap! We should ban them all!
This is Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. That was Sam Mulvey, and we'll be back maybe after the break.
Are you interested in vacations in the abyssal plane? What about new limbs in the form of tentacles? Maybe a new perspective on life in the form of mild but irreversible death? Or even an efficient conduit for eldritch possession?
Then Squid Ink may be for you.
Here are some interviews from our satisfied customers.
Squid Ink changed my life forever.
I'm utterly in love with my new form.
Help me, please.
Why wait? Buy Squid Ink now.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. That was Sam Mulvey just a few moments ago. He thinks all holidays are crap.
I like holidays.
I like days off. I mean, I like to be able to sleep in.
The sleeping is great. The holiday pay is nice, but I also like celebrating with the family. It doesn't matter if I'm religious or not. I like getting people together and having parties, you know. Halloween's a great excuse for a party. So's Christmas time.
Luke, I like the cut of your jib. You know who I don't like? Brazil. who has elected the far right, anti-gay, pro-gun, pro-torture, pro-dictator, zealous Christian,
Donald Trump?
Oh, that is a long way of saying Donald Trump. No, Brazil has not elected Donald Trump. Brazil has elected Jair Bolsonaro as its president with 55% of the vote. Bolsonaro campaigned on a Brazil first, God above all mission and repeatedly claimed in rallies that there is no such thing as a secular state. Bolsonaro also insists that minorities will have to adapt to the position of the majority, specifically singling out Brazil's indigenous people and descendants of Afro-Brazilian slaves, in addition to other non-Christians. Now, this really will take some watching and going into much more deeply than we can do today on Ask an Atheist. And this is something that is very recent, but man, I get chills looking at this.
Oh, you know, this is scary. But this also has parallels to the legislation that was passed in Jerusalem just this year. I mean, not Jerusalem, but in Israel this last year.
Okay.
So basically, like, they had it was almost kind of a very similar statement saying that Judaism is the absolute religion that you must. There's a really strong parallels to a really freaky mentality coming in.
It is very strange, though, because, we can criticize Israel, and we certainly do, for being, you know, the Jewish state and saying, you know, we are God above all. There's no such thing as a secular state. It isn't, right? You have a majority of people that are needing to, sort of like the college club, right? If you can exclude people from voting, you can keep the representational views that you want. But here, Brazil is ostensibly a secular state, and you have a guy that says, no, there isn't such thing as one. Like, as in, it can't exist. There's no possible way. It's illogical. No, it does. It has. But you want to eliminate that for your country?
It's parallels. I'm seeing parallels with all kinds, with every country right now.
This is a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, right, Europe just went, I mean, right now, like, Europe has staved off some really bad politicians, but I mean,
well, we've been talking about in Spain and in Greece, you both have atheist prime ministers or presidents seem to be trying to de-link religion with the official government. So it's, you know, it's not everywhere that this is happening, but I do hear you on that tension. It seems that you have either these zealous individuals who are, you know, either isolationist or nationalist or Christian or religious, that all those things sort of feed into each other in these circumstances.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The opposition to those progressive people is so far right now across the board that it's just scary.
Yeah. Well, so in the case of Brazil, the reason why Bolsonaro was able to, I misspoke his name.
No, Bolsonaro.
Bolsonaro, the way he won was essentially, it was a judicial coup. So essentially, they took the most likely person to win was Lula. He is the most popular, probably, political figure in the whole world. Like, he is
just in sheer number of people that like him.
Yeah, he was already president twice, but because of their constitution, you can't do a consecutive term, so he was replaced. And under his term, he was massively popular and he was massively effective. He brought massive amounts of people out of poverty. And so knowing this and knowing that he was actually able to be run for office this time, they imprisoned him under
False pretenses?
False pretenses under Operation Car Wash, which was actually with the help of the U.S. Justice Department, rolled up a bunch of politicians, including him, on false pretenses, just basically to put him in jail with no evidence of any crime whatsoever.
That kind of reminds me of our interference in the 80s and early 90s in communist countries.
Or you mean like never
it
stopped?
It never stopped, oh, yeah. Luke.
That's right.
It keeps going. So, and then we have to face the consequences, like in Honduras.
So, yeah. Josh, this is something that, I hadn't really looked into super, super in depth. What I had been following is you have this guy that is misogynistic, racist, sexist, and extreme in his religious zealotry, who a month before the election gets stabbed. That's something that's sort of really salacious,
false
right?
Flag.
You think it's a false flag?
Because the thing is like with conservatives and Republicans and far right ideologies, they like to throw out the false flag thing because they love to fake this kind of thing. If you look through history, the people that actually do commit such things as a false flag. Like, just think of the interference of peace with Vietnam.
Okay.
And Nixon running to make sure that peace didn't happen, so that way he could clinch the presidency.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something that I wasn't really going for on that side. I'm willing to believe that there is some Brazilian individual that can foresee, you know, Brazilian Hitler and say, I gotta eliminate this threat right off the bat. Tries to stab him, or does stab him, and you have his political opponents that then, do you really dig deep, going up against doing negative attacks on a guy who literally just survived a stabbing? Right. You know, so for at least 2 weeks, or, you know, right up to the election, he has to look sympathetic, because if you attack the guy that just got stabbed, you know, verbally even, or politically, you're terrible. You're not scoring any points with that.
I think you're probably right there, but I like Josh's idea.
I just like to be, I'm going to be the Alex Jones of the atheist community at this point.
I need evidence. Otherwise, I can't support it.
Are you going to dress up as a frog and dance?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, and then claim about all the water turning people straight.
But if you look deep into this Bolsonaro guy, he is awful. He's atrocious. You know, people say like, oh, yeah, he's just the Brazilian Trump. I think he's shrewder than Trump is. I think he is more zealotously Christian and more aligned with actual religious beliefs, because I don't actually believe that Trump is a believer.
No,
I don't think that he believes in God. I don't think he's down with Christianity. I think he's down with Christian supporters, but I don't think Trump believes in God.
No, he's scarily smart about what he's doing, and it's disturbing.
Bolsonaro.
Bolsonaro. Not Trump. No.
Yeah.
Trump is essentially like Constantine. He converted to Christianity because it won him a war.
Right.
Man, or an election?
An election.
Yeah. Is it one or both? So he also, you know, Bolsonaro served in Congress for a while, but he also is a super fan of military dictatorships. I mean, this does make us think of Trump saying like, oh, yeah, I like Little Rocket Man with his dictatorship. You know, like Trump said things that he likes being a dictator, but this guy knows how to do it.
From what I read, he's actually an extension of that politically, of that group from like 21 years ago.
Yeah. And that's something that I think, as secularists, as folks that are concerned about world politics, as folks that are concerned about Trump taking cues from other world leaders, we need to be really concerned about what's happening in Brazil with this guy. Are there any more adjectives that you could add to your profile? Pro
yes.
Gun.
I got one.
Pro torture, pro dictator, far right, anti-gay, misogynist. I mean, he's all of the bad things.
So, to top it all off, he's also anti-climate change. And in Brazil, they have the Amazon rainforest, which is responsible for 25% of the breathable air that we have.
So, and this huge carbon sink that we have.
Yeah.
He wants to burn it down and open it up.
Yeah, he wants to cut it all
down. The entire forest.
I just had heard that he didn't care about the indigenous people's sovereignty in Brazil.
So,
which,
well, that's part of
the same thing. Yeah.
That's absolutely part of that. No, they want to exploit the Amazon rainforest to its maximum potential.
The number of resources available under that forest are just gigantic.
Yeah. And then, I mean, like you said, it's a carbon. That's a carbon sink.
It's all protected land, though.
Guys,
most of it is.
This is something that is depressing me.
Sorry.
So it makes me want to fly away. It makes me want to fly away on vacation.
Well, good news. Mars might be opening up soon.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. That's a one-way trip as far as I know, right?
Yeah, and it's not going to be very livable at all.
Well, maybe we'll bring the Amazon there. But a little bit closer, a little bit shorter of a flight, Israeli airline company El Al is conducting an investigation and compensating passengers after a flight from New York to Tel Aviv was diverted last month due to the disruptive and allegedly violent behavior of ultra-Orthodox passengers who feared that their Friday flight would still be aloft after the start of the Jewish Sabbath. Takeoff had been delayed by 5 hours due to poor weather and de-icing procedures on a Thursday evening. Passengers mid-flight posted to social media that some religiously observant passengers had become irate, pushing and hitting a flight attendant, and had even threatened to break open the flight deck door. About 4 hours into the flight, pilots announced the plane would land in Athens, so those who wished to not fly on the Sabbath could stay there and resume their travels afterward. All 400 passengers are being comped free round-trip tickets to Europe for the inconvenience experienced during their flight.
I have a question, actually. Is there some sort of severe consequence for flying on the Sabbath?
So El Al is interestingly the only airline in the world that stops all operations, all flying for 24 hours.
Right.
They do not fly on the Sabbath. The severe consequence is apparently the wrath of God. No, the consequence is whatever you would get as a consequence for breaking any of the 214 right. commandments.
I am horribly ignorant on this.
Aren't you just unclean until the next time that you get a chance to observe it?
That's one interpretation that moderately observant people would say. They say, oh, I am sorry for this particular transgression, just like every other time you have a certain transgression. But, you know, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy as one of the main big Ten Commandments is something that people seem to prioritize a little bit more than the, you know, don't cut down trees when you're at war with someone. Because we all know that, you know, when the Israeli government wants to go into the occupied territories and bulldoze what they deem to be an illegal settlement, they have no qualms about cutting down a tree in a Palestinian's front yard. So while very observant people do not utilize electricity or travel and things like that, all stemming from don't light fires, right?
Right.
What is the consequence? Who knows? Because I've never seen a God of the Bible strike anyone dead for flying on the Sabbath.
Are you sure about that?
Is that what they're worried about?
It's not necessarily being struck dead. It's about violating a commandment.
Okay.
Somebody must have died sometime that for violating it. And then...
Yeah, at the hands of another human.
Okay, there's something missing in this story. I've gone over it.
Yeah,
time
sanity,
and time again.
Rationality.
Well, besides that, I mean.
You try and beat down the cockpit door?
Right, that.
Where's the mention of somebody going to jail? I mean, this is something that people get arrested for.
Yeah, there was assault.
There was an assault,
violence.
And there was actually somebody trying to actually break into the cockpit. And, I mean, this is post 9/11 world. That's pretty. Scary. Why is there nobody in jail for this?
That's a really good question.
I mean, literally, this is like religious privilege. Like, it's okay to try and hijack an airplane because Sabbath.
What if they were Palestinians?
They wouldn't have been allotted such.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that they would not have been tried to, they wouldn't have been tried to, the company wouldn't have tried to appease them. They wouldn't have been offered their round trip, you know, European flights. I think you're really right on this. It's because it's a religiously oriented and guided airline company. They're going to try and appease their religious customers. And El Al is no stranger to trying to appease religious customers by saying, oh, young woman, would you mind moving seats, you know, back four rows? Because there's this Haredi, there's this ultra-Orthodox man that doesn't wish to accidentally brush elbows with you.
I've heard about that.
So couldn't they just wear garbage bags like they do over when they fly over the graveyards?
The cemetery.
The cemetery thing. They fly. So just wear a garbage bag. Call it good. I mean, you got that plastic layer that's protecting you from touching the unclean woman, apparently. So
you're onto something here. It's be responsible for your own sincerely held beliefs. Exert your own beliefs in a way that does not inconvenience or endanger other people.
And please remember to put breathing holes in your plastic
bag.
Yeah,
that's important.
I mean,
no, really, yeah.
We don't need you to die. Just protect yourself if you're going to do something stupid like that.
Wonder whether the Alliance for Defending Freedom would be into helping any of those guys. Happy Hanukkah, everyone! It is the first night of the Festival of Lights. Or should I say, Merry Hanukkah. This has been Ask an Atheist. You can find us at atheist.radio. Tweet us at AskAnAtheistWA. Find us on Facebook. Luke, thanks so much for joining me.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Josh, thank you.
My pleasure.
We'll see you guys next week.